Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And many blessings to you. You know, the scripture that he just read is a call to action. Amen? Amen? Amen. And the title of this sermon is what? Can anybody tell me? Shape up to ship out. How many of y'all have been to the military? Anybody? Well, in any type of training, you do training before you ship out. No matter what you do, you do some type of training. So God gave me this title, Shape Up to Ship Out, because we're living in the times where we got to change our behaviors from the old man to the new. Gail, would you pass those pieces of paper out, please? I had a dream one night that I was teaching a class, yet I was seated in the class, and then I asked for everyone's attention because I had something important to say. Everyone was carrying on, even me, in this dream. No one would listen. Then I shouted with a loud voice, "Shape up to ship out." God is up to something, church. He's up to something great in all of us. Amen? Hey, Gail, can you pause for just a minute and pray? Dear Father God, I thank you for your love, mercy, and your grace, God, and I thank you for the honor to be here today, Lord, and to study your word deeply and deeply and deeply. Your word says, come up to here where I am. My ways, my thoughts are higher than yours. And we know this, dear Lord, and we ask you to change us and do what you need to do, and may we lay it all on the altar because you laid yours all on the altar. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, church, I think we have a thing called alert fatigue. We're getting too comfortable in this world, with the world. And are we paying attention to what's going on around us still? All the chaos that's going on? We have to live like we're leaving. But I see a lot of Christians still collecting stuff, you know, like we're going to be here forever. Not just Seventh-day Adventists, just Christians. They're steady collecting things, and collecting things. And we know in 1844, we know what happened, you know. People had a good ideal about things, but they kind of got it wrong a little bit. But something did happen, right? Jesus went from where to where? From the holy place to the most holy place. So, while the investigated judgment is going forward in heaven, while the sins of the repentant believers are being removed from the sanctuary, there is to be a special work of purification, of putting away sins amongst God's people upon the earth. Amen?
Yes.
We have something that we're supposed to be doing. And the piece of paper I gave you, well, I will explain that a little bit. The work is more clearly in the message of Revelation 14 and Great Controversy 4:25. That's us, the believers who wants Christ, not sin, who wants to make our wrong right, who really wants him. Where are our treasures? Is our treasures in this world? Well, it's in heaven. Because if it's in heaven, we're not going to be disappointed.
That's right.
But if it's in this world, we're going to be disappointed, church. Now, in the final atonement, Jesus is applying his blood to every area of our lives. Wrong behavior, wrong thoughts, wrong feelings, wrong motives, wrong indignations, and wrong impulses. When we, you and I, are completely in agreement with God on every issue which has caused a separation from him, then his ministration work for us is completed. We must shape up to ship out because holiness is an agreement with God. And that's found in Testimony 5 on page 743. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, it says, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye what? holy in all manners of conversation. And 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Our sins are blotted out, and we are sealed and prepared for the close of probation. In this way, we would truly vindicate the character of God before the whole universe and forever silence the false accusation of the adversary, which is the devil. Now, I have a question, church. Since the judgment of the living is an experience with Jesus when he opens up the books in heaven, so what could be some possible signs that would indicate that our personal judgment has begun and we will obey or we will rebel? Now, the piece of paper that you have, there's 10 things on there that indicate that our name could be coming up because we start changing. Things start happening in our life. Could someone read number one for me, please? Oh, he's gonna bring a mic. If you would raise your hand, someone reads number one.
Number one, the Holy Spirit brings up past memories, flashbacks, things that will still need to make right with others in sin we have not confessed.
Amen. Is that happening? It's happening. God brings back up in our minds of things that we need to make right. It's happening. I was talking to a truck driver the other day. He came and delivered me something, and this was a young man. We got to talking, and he said that he wanted to commit suicide when he was 14 years old. And he picked this up. We were talking about where sin is. Sin is in the mind. This is where our sin is. It is stored in our mind, and God wants the mind. Satan wants the mind. Amen. Yeah. And that's why he says renew your mind. Amen. Will someone do number two, please? Yeah, we're going to go through these 10 here. So,
coping mechanisms that we have heretofore relied upon to manage our lives are no longer effective.
Amen. And I can speak to that. You know, in way back years in my life, I used to say, I don't wait on things to happen. I make things happen. But that has changed. Now I wait. I have to wait because my ideals are faulty now. They don't work. I depend on God more. Number three, please.
God reveals us that our present failings may be directly connected to wrong decisions that we made in childhood and faulty thought patterns of the past.
Yes. Stuff from our childhood that we haven't taken care of, it haunts us even to our adulthood. And we have seen where it affects marriages, it affects upbringing with our kids, it affects so much stuff. And God is showing us our character. How about number four, please?
We begin to experience unexplainable periods of depression, anger, anxiety, fear, etc., and may be tempted to bury our emotions by connecting with the media, relationships, or addictions of various kinds in an effort to cope or escape the pain.
How much is that going on? How much of TV and the phone and social media out there has gotten so popular? It has gotten so popular, and I think one reason is because we don't deal with what's going on inside of us. We like to sit it aside, and we watch the shows, and we don't have to think during this time. We have other things thinking for us. But God is trying to wake us up. And I call it, too, eating our feelings in effort to cope or escape the pain, even of discomfort. How about number five, please?
I got it. We may be facing major crises in the family for which there are no answers or solutions without divine intervention. Our lives may seem turned upside down.
Been there, done that.
Number five. children. I've already lost one.
Mm-hmm.
Immediate family problems right now.
Yes, ma'am.
And it has really tested my faith. One of the issues is the only thing that's ever tested my faith. But it is bad.
Amen. Amen. Number six. Anybody? I read it. God may allow severe trials to afflict us through which he chooses to reveal some unclean areas in our lives. And it goes back because sin is in our minds. He's trying to renew us. He's trying to cleanse us from the sin. Number seven.
We may be going through the procedures of sin, confessing and repenting the same sins over and over again, and seeking God for answers to our continued failures.
Mm-hmm.
This prepares our hearts and minds to be open to for God to reveal us why we keep failing.
Amen. You know, a lot of times we repent. I don't know about you guys, but you try to stop eating something, and it calls you back. You're going back. Those addictions, you go back. We know a lot of things that we eat is wrong and not good for us, but those habits, you know, those old habits that we have and that continues to, we wrestle with, no matter what they are, we wrestle with these habits. And just when we think we overcome them, and we're good for a couple of weeks, and then we're back again. That happened with me with Coca-Cola, you know. I didn't realize I was addicted to Coca-Cola and Pepsi until one day. I used to always ask a question. I would stop at a store, and I would see someone buying a Coke in the morning with breakfast. And I didn't realize I was addicted until one morning I stopped and got a Coke. And that's when I realized I had a problem. Number eight.
If we do not deal with our personal issues in our private time with God, God may allow our sins to become public. This is certainly not God's first option, but it may take this humiliation for us to be among the remnant. This may be God's only option whereby he may save us.
Now that's love. You know that? That's love. God is trying to do everything he can to save us, church. Number nine.
We may have deep distress of spirit, which may manifest itself in physical symptoms.
Amen. And you know, Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is what?
Death.
It's death. The wages of sin is death. And we talked about this in Sabbath school. Satan does different things too. He worked miracles. Satan can cast a spell on us and make us sick. Let me tell you, last night I fought with, I'm always wondering, I don't do well on it, but I do wonder what's going to happen to me when I'm called to speak somewhere, how Satan is going to intervene. I broke out with a rash last night. Don't know what it was, and didn't go to bed about 2 this morning because I was fighting this rash and praying, you know. And either way go, I was going to show up, though. I might have been funny looking, you know, whatever, but... I was going to show up, and I was telling my wife if I couldn't do it, I was going to prepare her to do it. But you know, we don't turn down engagements, you know, when God calls us. Who got number 10?
Areas we have previously had victory over become points of failure again. God leads his people on step by step. He brings them up to different points calculated to manifest what is in the heart. Some endure at one point, but fall off at the next. At every advanced point, the heart is tested and tried a little closer. If the professed people of God find their hearts opposed to this straight work, it should convince them that they have a work to do to overcome. Some are willing to receive one point, but when God brings them to another testing point, they shrink from it and stand back because they find that it strikes directly at some cherished idol. Have mercy. Here they have opportunity to see what is in their hearts that shuts our Jesus. They prize something higher than the truth, and their hearts are not prepared to receive Jesus. Individuals are tested and proved a length of time to see if they will sacrifice their idols. Those who come up to every point and stand every test and overcome, be the price what it may, have heeded the counsel of the true witness, and they will receive the latter rain and thus be fitted for translation.
Amen. God is getting us ready, church. We're in some serious times where we really, really need to pay attention to our behavior. We really need to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. God is perfecting our character. Our character is the only thing that we're going to take to heaven. Now my question is, why is it necessary to go through these major life-changing experiences that we are talking about today? And I'm going to let you read it for yourself. If someone turn to Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and read 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. You got it? Will you bring a mic up to this young lady, please? Thank you, sir. Listen close, church.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil.
Again, church, where sin is in our mind. That's why during the sanctuary time, they laid their hands on the head of the goat. We are to cast our sins upon Jesus while he's in the most holy place. Seek him while he may be found, because when it's finished, you can't do anything else. It's done. We must confess our sins now. And especially when the Holy Spirit bring up something in your mind, it is for a reason. Don't ignore it. So whereby, Hebrews 7:25 says this, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing in every liveth to make, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There is nothing that Jesus can't cleanse and purify in us. If we allow him to do so. But we have to put it all on the altar. What are we holding back? You know, like we was reading, we have those little cherished sins that we think nobody knows, but God knows. He's the only one that matters. And we cannot do this of our own. We must remember that this work is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is responsible for bringing up areas of our life that we still need to address. And note, this work has not been delegated to any human being, church. It's been delegated to God. He's the only one that can judge. Then, for God alone is our judge. The books in heaven contain an accurate record of all our behavior, thoughts, feelings, and decisions, as chronicled as faithfully by the angels. These same experiences are registered in our brain, which is our character. And Romans 6:23 says, sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. We are shaping up to ship out. You know, the shape up is like an exercise, you know. Because we do things, it's like any habits that we have. You know, it becomes a habit when you repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it again. It becomes natural. That's how we need to be with our spiritual walk to God, with our witnessing, when you do it regular. And you know, one thing we learned about witnessing is when you don't want to do it, that's the time to do it. Because if you sit and wait until you're going to get out there or do this and do that, we don't want to, because it don't come naturally, you know. For some people it may, because some people like to talk, some people don't. They like to be in the background. And if you're not going out, pray. We need to have these prayer groups where we're praying for the ones that's going out there. He now allows us to experience the consequences of our faulty thinking, our errors, our feelings, our impure motives, and wrong behavior, that we may understand the cause and effect of our choices, other paths, and how these impact our present experience. We are, you and I, then given the opportunity to confess our sins and be cleansed from these defects and faults and have them blotted out of our character. This is necessary in order for us to be sealed in preparation for the close of probation when Jesus Christ has finished his mediation in the heavenly sanctuary. Ephesians 2:21-21 says this: His presence will cleanse and sanctify the soul, so that it may be holy. It may be a holy temple unto the Lord, and an habitation of God through the Spirit. And I share this with people a lot. Don't accept feelings for faith. Just because you don't feel like you love, just because you don't feel like this or you don't feel like that, don't let that interfere with your faith. So we have to keep moving forward, church. Don't let anybody or nothing take your joy. And the Bible says this: those that endure until tomorrow, those that endure to next week or next month, or those that endure until what? The end, church. It ain't over till it's over. But don't let no one ever, ever take your joy that you have in Christ Jesus. And wherever you are with Jesus, you're going to be okay. I don't care if you're on your deathbed. I don't care if someone have a gun at you and saying they're going to kill you. They can't do no more to you than God allowed them to do. You're going to be okay. So we are to do if we do everything as if we were in the immediate presence of God, we will be saved from yielding to temptation and may hope to be kept pure, spotless, and undefiled till the last. Revelation 12:17 says this: the dragon is coming to make war with you. Are you aware of that? He's coming. So, just like the military again, if you know your enemy is coming, are you going to just lay down? No, you don't lay down. You stand and fight. Jesus is going to fight for us. He promised that. And we are to cling to his promises. Everything that he says, he will do for us. And just because it looked bad, but we stay until the end. And I share this with my fellow brothers and sisters too. Are you prepared to go to prison for what you believe? Now, don't just say that, because I've been there. I spent 3 years in prison. But one thing I've learned, and it goes back again, as long as you're with Jesus, it's going to be okay. Because when you're in prison, the world, it's like the world has left you. You're forgotten about. You become a number. And what I find interesting also is that when you go to prison or jail, they monitor you. They kind of put you on suicide watch. Because you've been taken out of your environment, just like an animal in a cage. You have been taken out of the environment that you know. So, the Bible tells us too, some people gonna turn back, you know, because they're so used to having the world, they don't want to be in the prison because they've been taken out of the world. So they're gonna backtrack. Yeah, they're gonna sell out. They're going to sell out Christ because they're so used to the world. We need to start changing our hearts and moving away from this world and getting close to Jesus, because we are shaping up the ship out. We have to be prepared for whatever comes from me. Our lights being turned off, food being cut off. Start practicing now. We have to shape up to ship out. Watch the watchman, because he's watching us, and that's Christ. Follow the Lamb wherever he goes, Revelation 14:4. Sister White says if we pray this in Matthew 9:24, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, we will not be lost because it covers our doubts and our fears. We are asking God to strengthen his faith in us for the time of uncertainties. Amen. God proves his people in this world here that we're living in the last days and the last moments. People will show what powers affect their hearts and controls their actions. I'm going to say that again. People are going to show what powers affect their hearts and control their actions. Because it becomes our character. People will know you by your fruits. And can you imagine how many people you will be a witness to if you stand firm? If we stand firm, because people are watching us, even when you don't think they're watching. If it is the power of divine truth, it will lead to good works and conversation. It will elevate the receiver and make them noble-hearted and generous, like our divine Lord. And as we stand here this day, young and old, you and I, God is showing us what's inside of us. And that's one reason that you see the world going so crazy today, because God is showing people who they are. And if we don't confess those sins, did you know it would make us go crazy? Because can you imagine if God opened the door to your mind and everything that you ever did from when you was a kid, if you received that at one time, you'll lose it. He reveals to us a little bit at a time for us to confess a little bit at a time, because we could not bear it if he showed us everything. Because the brain, I was reading and studying about the brain, it's an amazing thing. It holds everything from when you was born. It stores it in the back, just like a computer. You know, they call it a computer. The brain is not a computer, you know. And even in a computer, they say if you destroy the brain, they still can go back in there some way and receive stuff out of that brain. You can't truly destroy it. But God is showing us who we are. And I tell you this, church, you're going to be tested. We live in a spiritual world. As you drive down the road, somebody cuts you off. As you in the grocery store, somebody cuts you off. Or someone's saying just whatever to you. You are being tested. Everything that happened to us, we're being tested. We were driving down the road one day. Somebody was coming over the hill. And they was in my lane. I blinked my lights on to let them know, hey, can you see me? They shot me the finger like I was in the wrong. But it's okay. I don't get angry. I don't get angry. I pray for that person, because God is showing everybody what's inside of them. And here's the main thing. Faith isn't proven like gold till it has been through the fire. Your faith is going to go through the fire, church, to be proven like gold. Sin is not going to heaven. There will be no sin in heaven. So we got to get rid of it now. God is now testing us. We are deciding our own eternal destiny in all we say and in all we do. We must shape up, church, to ship out. Are we preparing for the coming of the Lord? Truly. Are we doing everything that we can to prepare for Jesus' coming? Amen. Dear Father God, we thank you for another beautiful Sabbath day. Lord, I pray over the church, the people here, the building, dear Lord. Be with everyone here in a very special way. We know that we still have a work to do. And you are such a patient God, because you could have came a long time ago, Lord, but you're allowing us to get ourselves ready day by day, day by day. I ask you to open up our minds where we can receive you more and more. Let us turn off the TV, the cell phones, anything that's distracting us away from you. And we know that the devil will keep those things in front of us. Even this government stuff that's going on, dear Lord. We know how this world is going to end. We know what's going to happen. But may we stay focused on you and not get poured into the junk. Because Satan has so many things that's going on out there that he tries to pull us in. Lord, let us stay focused. Let us remember and continue to shape up, to ship out, until our feet leave the ground, dear Lord, and we spend eternity with you. May you be with each and every one of us here on this earth and continue to give us love that you have. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for being our God. We pray that we may be a people that you say, these are my children to whom I'm well pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.